The makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the delicious blend of the world's choice coffees, which sells at such a reasonable price, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour and your genial host, Don Ameche.
This is the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and this is Don Ameche with greetings from each and all of us. That grand singer, Nelson Eddy.
Oh, my, what a voice, the peak of perfection.
Yeah, you're right, Charlie, and a hail and hearty welcome from W.C. Field.
Ah, what a nose, the beak of perfection, Laura.
Greetings, too, from Robert Armbruster and lovely Dorothy L'Amour.
Now, that's perfection itself.
And Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Well, that's half perfect anyway.
Yeah, I wonder which half. And it's swell to greet our special guest, Miss Glenda Farrell, one of our most versatile and popular screen stars. And to all our friends, new and old, from Nelson Eddy comes the musical welcome. Nelson Eddy singing Drums in My Heart.
Bells are pealing, hearts beat madly, earth moves feeling, smiles come gladly, low we sing. Goodwill, I'm your friend now, you're my brother. Hate will end now, love each other. Love, love, live, thank him. Drums in my heart, I hear the drums roll. Deep in my heart, beating with joy. Cymbals I hear, way down in my soul, reaching my ears, crashing with joy. Hail a new day, welcome a bright sky. Humbly I pray, happy am I. Drums in my heart, striking a new chord. Drums in my heart, thank the Lord. Drums, drums. The beating of tempo, the pounding of rhythm, drums, drums, the crashing of cymbals, the throbbing and rumbling of drums, drums, the boom of the bass drum, the thud of the tom-tom, the rattle of the cicada drum, the crashing of the thunder drum, pound, 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 drums, drums, I hear the drums roll, deep in my heart, beating with joy, drums, drums. Way down in my soul, reaching my ear, crashing with joy. Hail a new day, welcome a bright sky. Humbly I pray, happy am I. Drums in my heart, striking a new chord. Drums in my heart, thank God, Lord.
In a widely contrasting mood, Nelson Eddy sings one of the best love songs by the German composer Franz Schubert, the lovely Serenade.
und schlagen, ach, sie flehen die. Mit ihren Töne süßen Klagen flehen sie für mich. Sie verstehen des Bodens Sehnen, können Liebe Schmerz, können Liebe Schmerz rühren mit den Silbertönen jedes weiche Herz, jedes weiche Herz. Lass auch dir die Brust bewegen, Liedchen, höre mich, beben fahr ich dir entgegen. Komm, beglücke mich, komm, beglücke mich, beglücke
with a voice like yours, Nelson, and a song like that, what couldn't our young friend Casanova McCarthy accomplish?
I'd be afraid to guess, Don. No one can really predict what Charlie is going to do at any time.
No one but Edgar Bergen.
Lemonade.
So what is this, Edgar? The Call of the Wild McCarthy?
Lemonade.
No, Don, you see, Charlie's trying to pay for that car of mine that he wrecked. So he's going into business now. He's going to sell lemonade to all of us on the show.
Yeah, that's the idea. Lemonade, 8 cents a glass, 2 for 16, 8 cents a glass, straight 8 cents a glass.
Now, Charlie, how is the lemonade business?
Well,
I say, how is the lemonade business?
Oh, it's fine, Mr. Bergen. Why don't you buy a glass?
Well, think of all I've done for you. Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
But is it sanitary?
Hmm?
I say, is it sanitary?
Sanitary?
Yes.
Well, of course. Why, is my dog in it again?
No. Say, wait a minute, Charlie. Where did you get that bowl there?
Yeah, that lemonade bowl?
Yes.
Oh, a friend of mine gave it to me.
A friend of yours?
Yeah.
I see. It looks like my fishbowl.
Well, you're my friend.
Oh, I see. Why, it looks like there's a goldfish in the bottom of it now.
Don't say so. I could swear I cleaned it out.
Yes.
That's only an orange peel.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Tell me, Charlie, how much do you make on your lemonade stand?
Well, you mean per day?
Yes, per day.
Well, let's see. You mean in a day?
In a day, yes.
Well, it's awful hard to say, Mr. Bergen. Business fluctuates so.
Yeah.
You just can't stop it from fluctuating. Well, some days I can make as high as, of course, then again, it'll fall off a little, yeah. Oh, there you are.
Yes, well, about how much do you make?
You mean a day?
A day.
Well, I just can't tell you offhand quick-like. I haven't got my ledger here.
No.
The girl is out to lunch.
Yes, I know.
But, I could just make a snap judgment.
Yes, that's what I know. In round figures.
In a day.
In a day.
Well, in round figures, I'd say around $3 a day.
$3 a day.
Now, of course, that's plenty around. That's around $3 too much, yes.
That's just what I thought.
Now
tell me truthfully, Charlie.
Uh-huh.
How much have you sold today?
Today?
Yes.
Well, let's see. I sold four little horlicks, too. It's, well, been buzzing right along, buzzing right along. You know how business is.
Yes.
Just buzzing right along.
Yeah.
Let's see. I was, well,
how much?
Well, there's four, and there's four, and there's little horlicks, two, and one is these, two, four, six, eight, six, six, seven. But there's 24, and carry two. You carry one, and I'll carry one. Well, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Buzzing right along.
Buzzing right along.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Yes, but now tell me, Charlie. Have you sold any at all today?
Well, I...
No, no.
Yeah.
Well, I must tell you, Charlie, that lemonade looks a bit weak.
Weak?
Yes.
Oh, I see, weak, huh? Yeah. Well, the rain didn't help it any.
No, I...
The profit's liquidated.
I see, yes. But, Charlie, you can't sell lemonade if it doesn't look good.
Oh.
No.
Well, it shouldn't be weak. There's a lemon in it.
Yes. Did you squeeze it thoroughly?
Oh, do you have to squeeze it?
Oh, certainly.
Oh, well, you got to find those secrets out.
Yes, certainly.
Hello, Charlie. I just heard about your lemonade stand, and I want to buy a glass. How much is it?
Lemonade is 8 cents a glass, Dorothy. But to you, it's 3 cents. I don't make a penny on it, Dottie. Not a penny. Just pays for the wear and tear on the lemon.
Oh, only 3 cents?
Uh-huh.
You're wonderful to me, Charlie. I'll take two glasses.
Two glasses, huh? Woo-hoo! Doesn't ride along, doesn't ride along. That'll be 6 cents. Shall I wrap it up or will you take it with you?
Thank you, Charlie. I'll drink it here, and I'll pay you tomorrow.
Yeah, woo, huh? Not so much buzzing. I got the worst of that deal.
Hello, Charlie. Congratulations on your new enterprise.
Oh, yeah.
How about a lemonade?
Don't mind if I do. Oh, you mean you want to buy one?
I certainly do, Charlie.
Oh, boy. Buzzing right along. Buzzing right along. You know, this is going to grow into a big business, Mr. Eddie. Mm. I figure that in 2 months, the profits will enable me to cut a lemon.
You mean a melon, Charlie.
What am I selling? Melonade or... How about a grapefruit juice? There isn't a better drink for the hot weather than a lemonade, I don't think.
Oh, yes, there is, Charlie. Iced coffee.
Well, now, maybe you're right, Mr. Cadell. Iced coffee. I bet you wouldn't get mad if I asked you what kind of coffee to buy, would you?
Well, not at all, Charlie. The answer is Chase and Sanborn coffee.
Chase and Sanborn?
Mm-hmm.
Comes as a complete surprise to me. I got a good idea. You talk about my lemonade stand, and I'll use your coffee.
Charlie, it's a deal.
Okay.
Now, look, Charlie. Here's an old friend of yours. You know the fellow who exchanged license numbers with you?
Uh-oh. I think I better close up for today.
Well, hello, Charlie. What do you sell?
I got a lemonade stand. How's your car? Did you fix it?
No, I sell it for junk. Uh-huh. I trade into my hunk of tin and buy a hot poppy stand.
With mustard?
Oh, sure.
Oh, you drove a hard bargain there, Gazzolo.
Say, look, Charlie, you make lots of money here?
Oh, I'm cleaning up. Another day like this and I'll retire. I'll have to.
You're pretty smart kid, you bet you my life.
You're not mad at me anymore, are you, Mr. Gazzolo?
Oh, no. I think you got the stuff, and I got the stuff, too.
Ah, that's the stuff.
Look, I'll tell you what we do. We make it a big merger. I got the hot poppy stand, you got the cold lemonade.
We're blowing hot and cold, huh?
You work for me, I work for you, all for nothing and something for nobody.
Will you take that a little slower? I think I cheated you that time. What a slogan. We'll both go broke together, huh? We'll have our grand opening next Sunday. Huh? Plenty of profits, eh, Gazzolo?
Yeah, we split the profits, eh, kid?
Yeah, we're partners. We split the profits.
Yeah, but look, suppose they ain't got no profits.
Well, then we'll split.
Well, is it looking like it's going to be a great big merger, all right? Frankly, I'm beginning to take this Gazzola business as seriously as Charlie. But here's a merger that's sure to be a success. Dorothy L'Amour and a new song. From the Paramount picture, Artists and Models, Dorothy sings, Stop, You're Breaking My Heart.
Stop, you're breaking my heart. This joke is going too far. Come out wherever you are. How come you like to do me like you do? Oh, stop, you're driving me wild. It's tough to take it and grin. And how you're rubbing it in. Because you know that I'm in love with you. I'm so, you're so, Oh, I don't know, I'm losing all hope. You're much too much. I'm just about at the end of my rope, so stop upsetting my car. Look out, I'm starting to burn. The worm will certainly turn. Oh, stop, 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 you're breaking my heart. What's the name of this game we're playing? Luck is going your way. You keep winning and I keep losing. Now I'm refusing to play. This joke is going too far. Come out wherever you are. How come you like to do me like you do? It's tough to take it and grin. And how you're rubbing it in. Because you know that I'm in love with you. Oh, I'm so, you're so. You're much too much. Stop upsetting my car. Look out, I'm starting to burn. The worm will certainly turn. Oh, stop, 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 stop. Stop, you're breaking my heart.
Dorothy, what a life with thee is a life.
Say, you know, Charlie, a number of men were recently asked what qualities go to make up a successful wife.
Well, I could tell them. A little lipstick, a powder, that goes a long way to make up a successful wife, Mr. Mason.
You know, Charlie, it turned out that most men did not expect dazzling beauty or even a lofty intellect. But they did feel that the ideal wife should have a pleasant disposition and should be a good cook.
Uh-huh. Well, that comes in handy, too. Yes, it does.
So I know that husbands and wives alike will be interested in these facts about good cooks.
A really good cook not only cooks well, she shops well, too, and always knows how to get the best.
How true, how true.
When she buys perishable foods, she gets them fresh. And she knows that perishable foods include not only butter, eggs, and vegetables, but coffee, too.
And lemonade, too. Don't forget that. Talk about my lemonade, Goodell. Don't forget.
Oh, yes, Charlie. Lemonade and coffee must be fresh to be delicious, for stale coffee develops a bitter, rancid taste. Even a poor grade of coffee tastes better fresh. And when you get a rich, high-quality blend, freshly roasted, then you'll taste coffee flavor at its best. For that's Chase and Sanborn Dated Coffee, a marvelous blend that's always fresh.
Just like my girls.
What are you talking about, Charlie?
My girls, often dated, always fresh. Yoo-hoo!
All right.
Chase and Sanborn Dated Coffee, a coffee that's roasted for you every day in our many great ovens all over the United States and Canada. And from these warm, fragrant ovens, it's rushed to grocers everywhere by 3,500 rapid delivery cars. The same automobiles that bring these stores their Fleischmann's fresh yeast.
Well, that's how they
What's
do it.
More, every pound of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee is marked with a delivery date. Your guarantee that it's freshly roasted. And please remember this. With freshness guaranteed by dating and rapid delivery, there's no need for costly containers. Instead, we use an economical dated bag. Uh-huh. And the money that would otherwise go into costly containers is used to give you richer, higher quality coffee at a low price. Try Chase and Sanborn dated coffee, either hot or iced. Buy a pound from your grocer tomorrow.
The New York theater first knew Glenda Farrell as a dramatic actress. But her gift for comedy couldn't remain hidden long, and soon audiences were applauding her as a comedienne, and Hollywood discovered a new star. In her picture, Adventurous Blonde, the latest of the Torchy Blaine series, Glenda Farrell gives another of her amusing performances as a girl reporter. For us, Miss Farrell plays the role of Elsa Dixon in the one-act comedy, Lucky Day.
Lucky Day, with Glenda Farrell as Elsa Dixon and Don Ameche as Mr. Costigan. In a top-floor furnished room, Elsa Dixon and her husband Danny are having breakfast. A year ago, Danny was a bank clerk, but when a cousin left him $2,000, Elsa made him give up his job and devote his time to trying to win prize contests. For so far, they have won nothing, and although Elsa is sure their lucky day must come soon, their landlady, Mrs. Plutarch, is tired of waiting.
I've been hearing this talk for 6 weeks, and if the rent isn't paid by tomorrow morning, out you go on the street.
Oh, but Mrs. Plutarch, everyday prizes are awarded for something. The radio's full of contests, the newspapers, magazines.
Not to mention the automobiles that are raffled, rewards for lost articles, horse races.
And you'll never win any of them.
Well, I don't know why not. I'll bet nobody else in the United States makes a business of winning prizes like we do.
Well, if I don't have my rent by morning, you'll lose your room and everything in it.
But really, Mrs. Plutarch...
Oh, oh!
And you'd have to get rid of that dog, too.
Oh, Lucky? Oh, no, no. Lucky was given to us for good luck.
He's a charm.
Well, he don't charm the other tenants without his barking.
Oh, come on, Lucky boy. She doesn't like you. Up you go on the roof. There you are. Now be a good dog.
And as for you, Mr. Dixon, you'd better get around to the bank and get your job back. That's all I have to say.
That's enough.
Oh, well, don't let it get you down, darling. Did you look in the paper to see if you won the sedan you had a chance on?
Yeah, I missed it by one number. Hmm. Yeah, the whole paper's full of Two-Gun Costigan, the famous bandit.
Oh, who cares about bandits? You looked at the zigzag puzzle winner.
I did. We didn't win. Say, this Costigan's public enemy number one now. Held up another bank. And listen to this. They're offering $50,000 to anyone who'll get him.
That'll be easy money for somebody if he lives to claim it.
Gee, I wish we had a ticket on the RE sweepstakes. Here's a list of winners.
Gracious, what's that?
Hey, Lucky! Hey, Lucky!
Now, where's he be barking at? Up there on the roof. Danny, look. Huh? Look, a man. Man, he's coming through the trap door.
All right, relax and get over against that wall. Move.
Danny, he's got a gun.
Yeah, I use it for a nutcracker.
But who?
All right, keep your trap closed.
I only left it open for the dog. Who are you?
Costigan's my name. Two-Gun Costigan.
Oh, Costigan.
Yeah, Costigan. Mean anything to you?
Oh, yes, we've heard of you.
And well, who hasn't?
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, you're the greatest criminal in the United States.
In Europe, too. I'm bad all over.
Yeah. Now, won't you sit down, Mr. Costigan? What luck. We're just delighted to see you.
Huh?
Oh, Danny, give Mr. Costigan a cigarette and some coffee.
Yeah, that'll be swell. I always drink coffee after I plug a guy.
Yes, after you plug... Did you shoot somebody?
Yeah, I've been holding up the First National Bank.
The First National... Danny, that's the bank where you...
Some dumb clerk tried to pull a gun on me. On me. So I had to plug him.
You had to plug... Is he dead?
No, not from the way he hollered.
Oh, but you got away, Mr. Costigan. Oh, I think that's awfully clever of you.
Yeah, that's me, Two-Gun Costigan. Now, listen, I'm a little bothered, see? There's a price on my head.
Don't we know it?
$50,000.
Yeah, cheapskates. Say, how did you know?
Oh, well, you see, it's here in the paper. We were just reading about it. Your picture's here, too.
Oh, it is? Well, let me see it. Holy cats, these lousy photographers. Look at that chin line and the way my hair is mussed up. Ah, these cheap newspaper pictures, they never get no character in this stuff. That thing don't do me justice.
Oh, I should say not. Oh, your face is just full of character.
Yeah, that's because my head's full of ideas. Right now, I'm going to borrow a suit of your husband's clothes.
Well, now, say, wait a minute.
You ain't raising no objections, are you?
No. Nothing like that. Here's the dressing room, and his suits are all hanging up there. Both of them.
Thanks. Now, you two stay right where you are. Keep your mouths shut if you know what's good for you.
Honey, we've got him.
$50,000? Oh, Danny.
Now, you run and get the police while I hold the door.
But, Danny, the dressing room door won't lock. Oh. I know. Lock the outside door and throw the key out of the window.
Well, I don't like it, but okay. I'll lock the door and you padlock the trap door.
Oh, hurry now. There, the trap's locked. Now, throw the key out of the window.
Oh, there it goes. Now, we'll write a note and drop it out, too. Didn't I tell you this was our lucky day?
The day isn't over yet.
How's this sound? Police, Two-Gun Costigan is in hiding in number 13, top floor front.
Hey, you might say longing to see you. I wish you were here.
Here it goes, out the window.
Wait, let me see it. It's still floating. I...
See any coppers down there?
Oh, it's you, Mr. Costigan. No, I don't see any coppers. No one but a street sweeper.
Yeah, what's he doing?
Oh, he's just picking up scraps of paper. He's picking them up. And putting them in his wagon without even reading them.
Say, Mr. Costigan, with that suit on, you look just like me.
Well, that's the idea. Say, what time do you usually go out, Mr. whatever your name is?
Dixon. Well, I don't go out much these days.
Well, what's the matter? Are you sick?
Oh, no. He just works at home.
And what kind of work?
Well, puzzles mostly. We compete for prizes.
What a racket. You ever win anything?
Well, not so far.
Let's see some of this work you're doing.
Well, now here's a puzzle in a magazine. You have to find all the faces hidden in this picture.
See, it looks just like a landscape. But there, you see, is Roosevelt just coming out of the fog.
There's supposed to be 28 faces, but we can only find 26.
Well, I've marked the ones we found, but you couldn't possibly...
Let me see it, will you? Greta Garbo, Mussolini, Lindbergh, Say, I ought to be in here. What the... Oh, here I am in a cloud. Will you guess who's next to me?
That's the one we haven't found.
Amy Semple McPherson.
Imagine, and we've been hunting for those two faces for a week. Well, we're sure to win that $200 for it now. Thanks.
Thank you. I can do with a couple hundred smackers myself. You got any more of these games?
Oh, no, we haven't.
Do you, have to take that gun out again?
Oh, I'm just cleaning it. Like to keep it nice and shiny, you know. It don't go off if you behave.
Oh. Well, here's a zigzag puzzle that you might like to try. They don't pay much, though, only $5.
Well, might as well do something till those cops outside give up.
You've got to fill these squares in with letters.
Yeah, I see. You need an 8-letter word beginning with G-A-R, huh? G-A-R, gar.
Say, I'll bet that's gargoyle.
Gargoyle? You mean like when you got a sore throat?
Oh, that's gargoyle. Show him, Daddy.
Gargoyle.
Oh, I get you. Them stone things where the eyes stick out and the cheek bulge out like this. Huh?
Mm-hmm, that's it. Only much more so. Now put your fingers in your mouth and push out your cheeks.
Like this, huh?
Oh, much more. Use both hands.
How's this one, huh?
Oh, that's marvelous. That's perfect. Grab the gun, Danny.
I got you, Costigan. Hands up.
You should never lay your gun down, Mr. Costigan. I'm ashamed of you.
Yeah, that was a mistake. But I didn't think any guy that sits around the house doping puzzles...
Get moving.
Okay.
But, Danny, the key. We threw that out of the window.
Oh, that's all right, sister. I'll pick the lock for you. Got a wire right here in my pocket. It's one of the first lessons I learned from my old man. Really a cinch when you know how. There you are. Door's all open.
Now, get going, Costigan.
Sure, I'm going. But you've forgotten something already. My name is Two Gun Costigan.
Oh, Danny, he's got another gun.
Yeah, surprise. You got to remember things like that to win prizes. Stick him up.
Come on,
throw away that gun. It ain't loaded. I just left it on the table to see what you'd do.
It was loaded.
Yeah, that's my mistake. And now get in that closet, both of you. Go on, hurry. Keep your mouth shut. I'm locking the door, but I'll leave the key on the outside. Wait a second. There, I'm leaving you my autograph for your memoirs, lady.
Oh, Mrs. Dickens!
What's the matter? Where are you? What is it?
Oh, goodness gracious. Where did he go?
Two Gun Costigan.
Oh, Danny, he's gone. $50,000 for his capture, and he walks right away.
Mercy on me.
All he left behind was his old clothes.
Well, that's something. If you can't use his old clothes, I can. My nephew's out of a job and can use anything he can get.
Oh, then take him. I'm going back to work tomorrow morning.
What?
Thanks to Costigan, there's a temporary vacancy at the First National Bank.
Mrs. Dixon, are you sure I can have this soon?
Oh, yes, take it.
But I found something in the pockets, a paper.
Well, finders, keepers, it's yours.
Oh, thank you. Could I see your newspaper in a minute?
Sure, there it is. And there's his picture right there, too, the man we could have retired on.
Oh, I'm not interested in him. It's the Irish sweepstakes. The winning numbers are here, and I found a ticket in these pants. Glory be, I've just won $100,000.
$100,000? Oh, Danny.
And after a whole year of trying, what luck.
A sweepstake ticket for $100,000, and it's mine.
Hey, you're kind of noisy, ain't you?
Mercy on Costigan.
Two Gun Costigan, and I left my other gun. Felt kind of lost without it. And I'll take that ticket, too.
You'll give me that.
Quiet. Whose ticket was this anyways, $10,000 from the bank, a couple of hundred from a puzzle, and $100,000 from a sweepstake. It sure is my lucky day.
Thank you, Glenda Farrell, for a fine performance. And I hope by the time you meet Charlie McCarthy, your luck will have changed, because you have to be lucky to keep ahead of him. The Chase and Sanborn Hour with W.C. Fields, Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, and Glenda Farrell will continue in just a moment.
Lemonade, get your dated lemonade here. Superb blend, one choice. Lemon, 3 gallons of water. You can't miss lemonade.
Charlie, there's a reporter waiting to interview you.
Oh, no, I can't see reporters. I'm too busy. Bergen hand is tired now from signing my autograph.
Say, look, Charlie, would it make any difference if I told you that this reporter was a charming young lady with lovely blonde hair?
I can't. What? Is she? Oh. Well, you should say those things, Amici. Remember, never keep a reporter waiting.
Charlie, this is Miss Glenda Farrell, the screen's ace newspaper woman, known to press and public as Torchy Blaine.
Oh, boy, is she a knockout. I'm carrying a torch for Torchy.
Hello, Mr. McCarthy. Now, all I want is the story of your life.
Well, I haven't lived it yet, but
Oh, now, don't be so modest. Uh-huh. From all the reports I get, you've done quite all right for a young man.
Well, I've had my moments, yes. You know, you have lovely eyes, Miss Farrell, Miss Blaine, a Torchy, a cutie pie.
Hold on there now, McCarthy. Don't count on adding me to your list. Where were you born, Mr. McCarthy?
Well, I was born... Oh, I see. Hard-boiled newspaper name, huh?
Were you born, Charlie, or did you sprout from the soil?
Well, you've been talking to fields again, huh?
Well. Mr. McCarthy, can I quote you as saying that Dorothy L'Amour is your big moment?
She was up to now, yes.
Oh, come. Let's not mix love and business.
All right, let's drop the business then, huh?
Now, listen, Playboy McCarthy, I've met your kind before.
Yeah?
Just because I'm a girl reporter, what makes you think you can make love to me?
Well, I don't know. I read so much about freedom of the press, I didn't know.
Well, the last man who said something like that to me kept a raw steak over one eye for a week.
Well, strike me blank. Are you a boxing reporter?
No, but I can arrange to have your ears boxed if you get too fresh.
You'd do that to me?
I wouldn't hesitate.
Now, Bergen, you stop putting those words in my mouth. I'm getting in trouble. Well, looks like this is going to be just an interview, huh?
Yes, doesn't it? Oh. Is monkey business your only business?
Well, no. I really have a big lemonade business here. I'm a magnet. I have a corner on a lemonade stand, on a corner on a stand, on a lemonade.
Oh. Why, Charlie, why didn't you tell me that before? Well, you're a big lemonade magnet, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, I just love big businessmen.
Yeah. Now, let's stick to the interview here now. Do you want to know where I was born?
No, I don't care about that, really. Does your lemonade business run into big profits?
Why, is this for a publication?
Mm. No, this is just between us.
Yeah, oh, I see. Well, we do anywhere from $4,000 or something.
Does it really go as high as?
All of that. Yes, indeed. And with a good bookkeeping, I can run it even a little higher.
Oh, that's marvelous, Charlie.
Yes, indeed.
When do we go to Atlantic City, huh?
Atlantic City. Now, wait a minute here. Now.
Now, look, I don't need more than 10 or 12 new gowns and a small Rolls Royce. Not the big one, a small one.
Sure.
And a diamond bracelet or two. Not the big stone. 10, 20 carats. Sure. That'll be all right.
Sure.
You don't mind if I ask for a few little trinkets like that?
No, I don't mind if you ask. I don't mind.
I'd like to have a yacht, too.
Why not? Well, no, the yacht's out, no. You might fall overboard.
Oh, Charlie, how could I possibly fall overboard?
Well, I could push you.
Yes, you could, but I could push a little myself.
Remember, I float now.
Oh. Oh, I can just picture it, Charlie. We two together.
Yes.
Oh, aren't we going to have fun?
Well, yes. Now, wait a minute. Now, just a moment here. Why, what are you trying to make out of this? Now, I'll tell you why. Why don't you have Bergen? Why don't you have him take you out? Now, there's a man of wealth.
Bergen?
Uh-huh.
Bergen has money?
Oh. He's the ideal boyfriend, I'm telling you.
Oh, he is. Mm-hmm. You think he'd be all right for me, huh?
Yes. He has money. Swimming pool, townhouse, badminton court, and all that stuff.
Well, that's wonderful.
Confidentially.
Well, if I can't have you, then that's something to think about.
Yes, not much, but it's something. Yes.
So, Bergen has money.
Oh, scat.
That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. By the way, Charlie, what does Bergen do to make his money?
Well, I don't know. All I do is sit on his knee, that's all.
Move over, Charlie.
I think for once, McCarthy's on the run. And while he's catching his breath, I'd like to sing for you a song from Love Under Fire, the 20th Century Fox picture I just finished playing in, which opened last week. The song is called The Language of Love.
The language of love is a song, so I sing for you. The language of love is a sigh, so I sigh for you. Hearts can't conceal what our eyes reveal. Words can't convey what a kiss will say. So answer my song with a kiss, and we'll speak in the language of conceal what our eyes reveal. Words can't convey what a kiss will say. So answer my song with a kiss, and we'll speak in the language.
He girdles the globe, he hurries here, he scurries there, he travels everywhere, but we don't care where he goes as long as he comes around to tell us about it. W.C. Fields. Well, how you feeling, Bill?
I feel very well, thank you, Don. Just spent a most delightful weekend.
A delightful weekend? Where were you?
I was in Hawaii. Amazing country, Hawaii, Don. The beach over there with aloha. Derivation, I believe, the old Missouri salutation, aloha.
Oh, so that's where it came from, huh?
Oh, yeah. When you get there, they say aloha. When you leave, they say aloha. Doesn't seem to be any goodbye in Hawaii.
How long were you there, Bill?
Oh, I said about 2 weeks, Don.
Oh, wait a minute, Bill. You were here last week. You couldn't have been in Hawaii.
Oh, how right you are, Donald. How right you are. Make it Catalan Island. Green freckle on the blue torso of the Pacific.
Now, Bill, please.
I was brought up in the ocean, Don. Got salt in my veins. Hi, ho, and a bottle of...
What?
Something or other, anything.
Bill. Bill, wait a minute. You were brought up on the ocean?
Well, that was more of a river.
Well, what river were you brought up on?
Well, to tell you the truth, Don, the stream from the dye works used to trickle down past our door and under the house.
Oh, I see.
And we'd sail boats in it, Don. One day we'd have a green boat, the next day a red boat.
I never figured Mr. Fields was brought up on water, was you?
Very good, Charles. Very good.
I like that.
How'd you like me to take a gimlet and put a dimple in your little chin?
Now, Bill.
All right, Charles.
Yes, sir. Bill, look, let's get back to Catalina.
I don't know how to get back there now.
Tell me, Bill, did you fly over there?
They crossed me, yeah. No, I didn't fly. Stop, the listeners will hate that. They want to know what it's all about.
Bill, look, did you fly over to Catalina?
Oh, no, I didn't fly, Don. Give me old terra firma. The more firma, the less terra. By the way, Don, you know how the island of Catalina got its name?
No, Bill, I haven't the slightest idea.
You haven't, eh? No. Well, it was named by an old Portuguese buccaneer, Aloysius de la Mockenbach. Originally from the lower side of East New York. Had his wife with him, Don.
He did, huh?
And all captains have mates. Her name was Lena. Lena de la Mockingbar.
Yeah, but Bill, what made him give the name to that island?
Ah, patience, Don. Patience is a virtue. Sell them in a woman and sell them in a... Just sell them.
Bill, what made him call it Catalina?
Oh, he was standing by the island one day, Don, and he smelled a herd of goats. Saw a herd of goats. And a covey of cows. They were jumping from crag to crag.
Nah.
Oh, thank you, Charles. They were climbing from rock to rill.
Now, wait a minute. Cows climbing rills?
Oh, perhaps I should have said swimming the rills, Don, using the Australian craw. He saw the cows through his spyglass.
Now, go ahead, Bill.
Aloysius T. La Mockingbart was not a man to be foiled. He nudged his wife in the rib.
In the rib, Bill?
Have is a great river, Don. Nudged his wife in the rib. She said, look. He said, look, brother. This cattle, Lena.
Catalina.
Oh, it's very
good. So that dog got its name, huh?
Yes, your deductions amaze me, Don. The second mate, a man with the name of Joseph Miller, fractured his skull with a baseball bat. Later, the dramatized the joke and made the three-act play out of it.
Say, that's very interesting, Bill. Yeah. How do you know so much about pirates?
Oh, my uncle was a pirate, Don.
Is that so?
Yeah, he was sitting on the front porch in his undershirt and socks one Sunday morning. A great man for comfort, Don.
Yeah, I can see that.
Here to say we only live once. Perhaps you've heard the saying, Don.
Yeah, I think I have, Bill.
It was there he decided to be a pirate. Dear old Uncle Larceny. That was his name, Don, Uncle Larceny.
Yeah, Bill, Uncle Larceny.
We're all descendants from the old Larceny family. Perhaps you've heard of them, too.
No, Bill, I never did.
We all have Larceny in our blood on both sides of the family. Here to call my uncle Honest John.
Well, how did your uncle get the name of Honest John?
Oh, he used to run a nip and goat bar, Don. One day a balconeer, Carla Diaz-Portello, came into my uncle's saloon. In one glass eye, made of shatterproof glass, with an automatic wiper.
An automatic wiper for a glass eye?
Save Kleenex.
Yeah. What color were his eyes?
Light blue and a black mounting with slight traces of green.
Oh, it must have been very pretty.
Along about sundown, it'll get pretty bleary, though. Here, take his glass eye out, rub it off on the lapel of his coat. He always wore an alpaca coat, Don, with a mink fur collar.
Yeah, Bill, yeah.
Then he put the eye in a small glass of eyewash, which he always carried for the purpose.
Oh, very sanitary, Bill.
After Carlos Diaz-Portolo finished drinking his... And eating his meal, I beg your pardon. He would take the eye from the glass and carefully replace it in its socket.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
One day after he got through with a sumptuous repast, including steak covered with chops and side honor of raw liver.
Raw liver, Bill?
Raw liver with tartar sauce, very good with mustard.
Yeah, all right, Bill. But what happened to Carlos Diaz-Portolo's...
Carlo walked out of the saloon, out of Uncle's saloon, forgot his glass eye. A few days later, he came back to the saloon. My uncle found the eye. In the meantime, he put it carefully away in the cash register, containing some old IOUs.
An eye in the IOU.
Yeah. Black Widow Spider and Aunt Bella's old hat pin that he used to pick blocks with.
Bill, you were talking about Carlos Diaz-Portolo.
Yeah, that's right. Don, whatever made me think of that. Yeah, thank you. Carlos Diaz, don't go away, dear. They're going to be a good one in a minute. Carlos Diaz, that was total payment. My uncle said, Carlo?
Yes?
Yes. Where were you last summer? Just when you were in here, you forgot your class I. You killed the cat. Hey, you forgot your class I. Here it is. And he returned the eye.
Well, that was nice of him, Bill.
Yes, that's how he got his name, Don, of Honest John. He returned the man's glass eye.
Oh, that's marvelous, Bill. Yes. But suppose you tell us more about Catalina.
Oh, the island's full of goats, Don. The peculiar thing about the goats in Catalina, they haven't any noses.
Yeah, but, Mr. Fields, if they don't have noses, how do they smell?
Something awful, I know.
Sort of stuck my neck right out for that one.
Tell me, Bill, did you travel in the famous Catalina glass-bottom boat?
Oh, yes, we examined the flora and fauna.
Well, how did you like it?
Flora was a little fat the day we were there, Don. Probably been eating too much abalone.
No matter how you slice it, it's still abalone, isn't it?
Very good, Charles. Very good.
Those are good.
We had a bit of excitement, the glass bottom boat, Don.
You did, Bill? What happened?
Martha Ray was on board.
Oh.
She looked through the glass bottom boat, saw a reflection of her mouth in the water,
thought it was a canoe and tried to step into it and was almost drowned.
Well, that was terrible, Bill.
Yes, was. That was awful. The joke and everything. There was more than the water, surrounded by barking dogfish and mewing catfish.
Meow.
Thank you, John.
Bill, what did you do?
Well, we decided to drop anchor. The only anchor we could find was one tattooed on the Chinese cook's chest. So we threw him overboard. I quick put down the sleeve. I had an anchor tattooed on the forearm.
Well, look, did you save Martha, Bill?
I was there. We captured a sea monster, Don. It had three heads and eight legs.
Oh, I'll forget about Martha. You caught a sea monster with three heads and
eight
legs?
I thought it, yes. I thought it was a sea monster, Don. It was only after I dragged it out that I learned that it captured two girls on a surfboard.
Yeah, now, wait a minute, Mr. Fields. Two girls have only four legs.
That's right, my diminutive little calculator. But I neglected to mention that they had a dog with them.
Oh,
I think it's
difficult. That's okay.
My father was a deep sea diver, Don, a very polite old gentleman.
Is that so, Bill?
Yeah, he was drowned, Don, through being over courteous.
Well, he was? How did that happen?
Well, on one of his trips to the ocean floor.
Wait a minute, Bill. What was your father doing on the ocean floor?
Putting down a little new linoleum. It was there that he met and fell in love with a mermaid. She played him for a chill. It was love at first sight.
A mermaid, huh, Bill?
Yes. She weighed 105 pounds and her stocking thin. He would wave his handkerchief to her. I forgot to tell you, he used to carry a handkerchief with him, Don. She would wave her tail back at him.
So your father fell in love with a mermaid, huh, Bill?
Yes. Yeah, she was the salt. He was the salt of the earth, and she was the salt of the sea.
Oh, go on, Bill. This is very romantic.
I used to meet underwater. I'm going as fast as I can, Don. Oh, it's your turn to be quick.
Yeah, that's a nice romantic place to meet,
yeah,
Bill.
Well, what do you mean? I would say something about it. Say, okay, you're going to not say about it stays, eh? Yeah. He didn't wear corsets. I should have told that joke 50 years ago. Never should have revived it.
But, Bill, you said your father died by being too polite.
Yes, he did, Don. I'll tell you. One day, Paul was getting ready to propose to Little Minnie the Mermaid. He put on his best diving suit, double-breasted with two belts.
Oh. Yeah, Bill, two belts.
With two belts. One was the belt and the coat, and the other was one mother's idea. She thought he needed a good belt ever so often.
Bill, wait.
He would put on his diving helmet and descend to meet his finny love.
Well, was she waiting for him, Bill?
Yes, she was, Don. She was taking a bath the first time Father met her. He said, "Pardon me, I didn't know anyone was using the ocean."
Well, that's very polite of him.
Oh, he's very polite, Don. In fact, Father's chivalry caused his death.
Your father was killed, I mean.
Father was drowned. He forgot he was at the bottom of the ocean. He tipped his helmet and died of water on the brain.
Bill Fields is in favor of Catalina and the Mermaid. But the next time you go into a store, remember that every product on the shelves was made in hopes of winning your favor. But naturally, you can't buy them all. You want the ones that give you the most for your money. And here are some facts that will help you get the most for your money in coffee.
When you buy coffee, ask two questions. Is it a high-quality blend, and is it fresh? For poor grades of coffee lack richness and delicacy of flavor. And any coffee that is old will have a stale, rancid taste. What you want is fine coffee, freshly roasted. For then, and only then, you get a mellow, satisfying flavor and aroma. Better coffee at its best. And that's what you get in Chase and Sanborn Dated Coffee, a superb blend of the world's choice coffees fresh from roasting, at the peak of its full, marvelous flavor. This delicious blend is hurried straight from roasting to grocers everywhere, rushed there by the same great fleet of automobiles that brings these stores their Fleischmann's Fresh Yeast, the largest, most efficient fresh food delivery system in the world. As a further guarantee of freshness, the date of delivery is clearly marked on every pound of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Your assurance that this coffee is fresh from nearby roasting ovens.
What of the bow? What of the bow?
Nelson Eddy sings a song of merry old England, a toast to robust days and the stalwart men of old. Nelson Eddy singing the song of the bow.
The bow was made in England, in England. A true wood of yew wood, the wood of English bows. So men who are free love the old yew tree and the land where the yew tree grows and the land where the yew tree grows. What of the cord? The cord was made in England, in England. A rough cord, a tough cord, a cord that bowmen love. So we'll drain our jacks to the English flax and the land where the hemp was wove. The land where the hemp was wove. What of the shaft? The shaft was cut in England, in England, in England. A long shaft, a strong shaft. But I've been trim and true, so we'll drink together to the grey goose feather and the land where the grey goose flew, and the land where the grey goose
Dorothy, wasn't that song of Mr. Eddy's beautiful?
Nelson, I enjoyed your song very much.
Well, thanks, Dorothy, and you too, Charlie. Now, perhaps I'd better leave you two alone. Three's a bad number for romance.
Frankly, Nelson, I prefer that you stay. Nothing that Charlie could say to me would be of the slightest interest.
Why, Dorothy!
Nelson, I intend never to speak to Charlie McCarthy again. He's a flirt, a fickle flirt, and I hate him.
Now, Dorothy, surely things can't be that bad.
Why, sure, whatever.
Just a little lover's quarrel. It can be patched up.
Yeah, that's what I say. It can be so patched up, sure. You must be mad, Dorothy, mad.
Nelson, tell him I have nothing to say to him.
She has nothing to say to you, Charlie.
I see.
Thank you, Nelson.
Thank you, Dorothy. You're welcome, Dorothy.
Now, don't forget, two can play this game, Dorothy. I mean, Nelson. You tell her if she doesn't talk to me, she doesn't have to. She isn't the only pebble on the beach, tell her.
He says you're not the only pebble on the beach, Dorothy.
Thank you, Nelson.
Thank you, Charlie. You're welcome, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
Nelson, after that, you can tell Charlie McCarthy that he need never try to get back into my good graces again. Yes.
And Nelson, you can tell her, and you can tell Dorothy Lamore that there are others, if you know what I mean. Tell her that.
He says, say, wait a minute, I want to get mixed up in this. Let me out of it.
What do you want to do, ruin a perfectly good conversation? Stick around.
Nelson, you can tell Charlie that I'm through being true to him while he plays up to every new girl on the show.
Nelson, tell Dorothy Glenda Farrell happens to be my own affair. And wait for an answer, too, will you?
Nelson, tell Charlie he can insult me all he wants. I merely consider the source.
What does she say?
She says, oh, go jump in your lemonade bowl.
Say, listen, Miss Reddy. Now, don't get original here.
Oh, no, Charlie. I'm merely repeating what you two say.
Nelson, I never thought Charlie could be so cruel.
What'd she say?
She said she'd like to see you make a date with the Undertaker and keep it.
She's not giving you those ideas in code, is she now, Nelson?
No.
I just wondered. Nelson, tell Charlie that in spite of everything he's done, I really wouldn't want anything bad to happen to him.
What'd she say this time, Nelson?
She says that every time she thinks of you, her mind's a blank.
Why, Nelson Eddy, yeah. I didn't say any such thing. Oh, Charlie, can you ever forgive me?
Oh, Dorothy, darling, I'm the one to be forgiven.
Are there any more messages?
Yeah, just sing, Eddie.
Yes, and it's one of the world's favorite ballads that Nelson has for us, Charlie. The ever beautiful, drink to me only with thine eyes. I must say it now for our dramatic guests, Miss Glenda Farrell, and for our regular company, Nelson Eddy, W.C. Fields, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster. And may I say to those of you who have listened to this broadcast that this hour with you is made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Such purchases are the finest way of telling us that you enjoy our show. Next week, we'll all be looking forward to meeting you again, so until next Sunday at the same time, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying au revoir.
drums in my heart from through the years, and the big show from Ramon Kern's Head Over Heels. This is Carlton Fidel speaking for Jason Sanders. This is the Grand Central from the National.